This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Tuesday. Local governments and nonprofits that help the Roaring Fork Valley's poorest families are bracing for big funding losses. That's after the Trump administration announced last week it was freezing some federal dollars designated for Colorado. Aspen Public Radio's Sarah Torrey has more on how the freeze could gut programs that thousands of low-income families in our region rely on.
The federal funds would be withheld from three state programs, including Colorado's Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or TAMF. The Trump administration said it was reviewing how the state uses the dollars in an effort to, quote, root out fraud. Eagle County commissioners sent a letter this week to Colorado Senator Michael Bennett outlining the projected impacts of the funding freeze. Those include over 360 children in Eagle County losing their child care. Low-income families could also lose tens of thousands of dollars in direct support to help cover food, clothing, and other basic needs. The Aspen Youth Center also penned a letter in response. It's facing a $50,000 hit to its budget without TAMP funding. They will continue to serve families at no cost, but staff say community-based organizations cannot replace public programs that support vulnerable households. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Sarah Torrey.
Colorado and four other states filed a complaint on January 8th in U.S. District Court over the funding freeze. The court granted a 14-day temporary restraining order, blocking the action from taking effect. Eagle County commissioners are discussing contingency plans in the meantime to support families who could start missing payments next month. The city of Glenwood has announced it'll host its first ever State of the City event later this month. It'll include an update on city projects, small group question and answer sessions with city leaders, and refreshments. They'll provide Spanish interpretation. The city asks residents to RSVP so they can prepare enough food. The event will take place from 5:30 to 7 p.m. on January 31st at Morgridge Commons above the Glenwood Library. In arts and culture news, 20 protesters gathered with the Joyful Resistance Choir at the Aspen Pedestrian Mall this weekend. They sang protest songs and connected over a shared anxiety about the future of American democracy. Organizers said they wanted the event to be inclusive, so they didn't specify a particular issue or theme. But many in attendance were wearing anti-ICE buttons. Others held posters with photos of Renee Nicole Macklin Good, who was shot and killed by federal immigration officials earlier this month. The choir's songs were largely about freedom and unity, while some touched on immigration issues more directly.
And if you come for my neighbor from Mexico or Venezuela, if you come for my neighbor, you're gonna have to come through me.
The event was organized with the Raging Grannies and Mountain Action Indivisible ahead of the anniversary of Trump's second inauguration today. In statewide news, nine bodies have now been identified among the remains found decomposing at a mortuary in Pueblo last year. KRCC's Andrea Chalfin has more.
The three new identifications come after a Colorado tech company offered its DNA tools to the Colorado Bureau of Investigations free of charge. 15 bodies are still unidentified and are undergoing forensic genetic genealogy analysis. Authorities continue to research multiple containers of bones, cremains, and probable human tissue. The probe into Davis Mortuary is ongoing after routine inspection led to the discovery of decaying bodies dating back some 15 years. Andrea Chalfin, KRCC News.
In southwest Colorado, the Ouray Ice Park is still closed due to unusually high temperatures. Executive Director Peter O'Neill says it's the first time the park has waited this late to open in its 31-year history.
It's been incredibly warm, unseasonably. I mean, no one that I've spoken with who's been around in the valley for decades remembers a December and a January this warm.
He's hoping below zero temperatures forecasts come true. O'Neill doesn't know yet whether the park's upcoming festival will actually have ice, but the park is still committed to holding the Ouray Ice Fest starting January 22nd. And in regional news, A new order from the Trump administration says federal lands should be open to hunting and fishing unless there's a legal exception. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen has more.
The Interior Department's secretarial order directs land managers to find places with unnecessary barriers to hunting and fishing, expand access where possible, and increase coordination with states and tribes. It also says proposals to limit these recreational opportunities should be reviewed by higher-ups. Madeline West with the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership supports the move. She says it's unclear how many acres will be opened as a result.
But pretty safe to assume that there will be areas that become available for hunting and fishing that aren't currently by just putting the onus on justifying why these actions shouldn't occur and where they're not consistent.
West notes the order itself doesn't change any laws or regulations about where hunting and fishing are allowed. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
The directive applies to lands overseen by the Bureau of Land Management, Bureau of Reclamation, National Park Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and Bureau of Indian Affairs. Measles outbreaks are ongoing in pockets of the Mountain West. As Yvette Fernandez reports, case data show that those who were not vaccinated are at the highest risk.
2 years ago, by the end of 2024, there were 285 cases of measles and 16 outbreaks. Compare that to last year, and the picture was dramatically different. 2,144 cases and 49 outbreaks, according to federal CDC data. Hundreds of those cases were in Mountain West states, with Arizona, Utah, and New Mexico leading the way. Nicole Witt, the Assistant Director for Public Health Preparedness in Arizona, says the overwhelming majority of cases were among people not vaccinated.
9 out of 10 individuals exposed to a person with measles that are unvaccinated, will contract measles.
Mojave County, Arizona, which borders both Nevada and Utah, has one of the highest rates in the country. Witt says Arizona expects to report more people with measles this week. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Yvette Fernandez.
According to health experts, 95% of a community needs to be vaccinated to provide herd immunity. Colorado is 88.3% vaccinated, according to the CDC. The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.